You're checking into the meeting too?
Okay, we are recording.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 p.m. on Wednesday, April 19. I call this meeting of the National Airport Authority, Board of Directors, order. So, roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
And Treasurer Heath is absent this evening.
Okay. Public input as it pertains to tonight's agenda. Anyone like to speak up regarding an agenda issue this evening? Yeah, I'll take that as a no. Minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of March 15, 2023.
Mike put forward the motion to approve the minutes, March 15, 2023.
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Okay, Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. And that brings us to the Treasurer's Report, approval of the March 2023 financial statements subject to audit. David is not present tonight, so I'm going to table that for next month. And that brings us to Vashon Fute, financial year 2022 audit. If you please.
Good evening. I'm Matthew Murray. I'm the audit manager on the National Airport Authority Nathan. I'll give a quick kind of overview, high-level summary of the audit, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. So one of the things that we're required to do is we have a governance communication to the board, and that basically covers the significant aspects of the audit, any new standards that are required to be implemented during the year, as well as any material journal entries and significant estimates. And if we find any internal control deficiencies, we will report them in that, as well as in the internal control letter. We did not have any internal control deficiencies. New for the authority for FY22, kind of completely changed the way some of the stuff was presented in your financial statements, is GASB Statement 87, which is covers leases. So what that effectively did was change the way that the authority reports the leases for all of the individual hangars, the buildings that it owns. Previously, you would just report the inflows on an annual basis. Now, what GASB essentially had you do was take the lease as it was at the start of FY22 and present value the future payments out, including any options to extend that were reasonably expected to be executed. So effectively, that brought on roughly $7 million worth of receivables at the start of the year, but that is also offset by a deferred inflow of resources. And essentially, the way that everything gets recognized, revenue now has to be where everything was present valued. Revenue gets recognized straight line basis versus the lease receivable, which is reduced by what would be the principal amount of those lease payments. So effectively, when I looked at it in the current year, what actually flowed through as revenue was roughly about $52,000 difference from straight line versus the present value of the lease receivables. Made it a little bit more difficult for the board to be able to look at your actual financial statements and make sense of them, kind of similar to what GASB done with the pension OPEB standards.
For another way of saying, basically, what we have to put in for revenue doesn't match the cash we get.
Correct, yes. So what's important to the board is actually the statement of cash flow. And I have a question, one thing about cover, and for the current year, the authority actually had a positive operating cash flows, and I believe this was the third year in a row that they had positive operating cash flows. What's important to the board, to the public, is the auditor's report on the financial statements, and we're happy to say that we have an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which basically means that there are no material misstatements in the financial statements after proposed audit adjustments, as well as all the required financial disclosures were made. For FY22, the authority was subject to a uniform guidance audit, used to be called a single audit, under OMB Circular A133. And basically, what we have to do is look at the authority's compliance with the grant agreements themselves and report back on those, as well as your internal control over financial reporting. And we didn't have any modifications to our opinion. Basically means that, you know, when we tested compliance with the grant agreement, we didn't see anything that goes against the Code of Federal Regulations, the 2 CFR 200 cost principle. Do you want me to go over anything as far as your statement of deposition, anything like that, or?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. just throwing it out there.
Okay, so basically, the books look good to you folks.
Yep, that is a short story. Susan did a lot of kind of pulling for all the leases for us. We went back and forth, and I greatly appreciated her kind of assembling everything for us rather than us having to try to go through and dig and find the information that we've had to for some of the other municipalities that we bonded. It makes our job a little bit easier when we have the information aggregated there for us without having to go and dig.
Okay. Well, thank you for the presentation, Susan. Thank you for, you know, your help in getting the information together.
Everybody keeps a job. Nobody goes to jail this year.
is it possible? I probably should have given you a heads up that I asked David. I forgot David wasn't going to be here, but this new rules are just so confusing for everyone. So as part of in here, you have page 7, if anybody ever reads this report. So you actually put the future receivable as a column, then the lease revenue, I believe, is this past year's revenue. Yes, page 7.
So there's certain disclosure requirements.
Right, exactly. I just kind of felt. So the $7 million is what the future receivable.
Yep.
The lease revenue was for this year captured as actual revenue or captured as what captured as revenue for this year.
So a combination of lease revenue and lease interest revenue?
Well, that's the part. So can you describe briefly what the heck the lease interest revenue represents? So you may answer.
At the end of the day, nothing.
I know, that's the thing.
It is
required. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So the lease interest revenue that's actually flowing through here is the difference between your present value payments that you receive and your actual, basically the actual payment. So if you had a $4,000 receipt for the month and $2,000 of that went to reduce the lease receivable, $2,000 flowed through as lease interest revenue, but then the amount that actually gets recognized here, like in the column of lease revenue, that straight line basis over the entire length of the lease.
Right. And you're never going to go to our financials and see a line item for lease interest revenue. It's just one of those FASB, GASB, GAAP things that
doesn't exist here.
Right. I thought it was worth at least trying to have a two-second conversation about it, because if anybody does read this, it's like,
you're never going to be able to tie.
You're not going to be able to tie that back. Right.
The lease receivables, yes, and that's broken up between current and long-term portion.
Right.
But as far as the revenue amount, no, that's basically stuff that we have to go through, calculate, to be able to make sure that it's exposures.
So against my better judgment, I'll ask the question. Those three columns have nothing to do with one another, basically. in a sense, let's take the first, I don't know why I'm doing this, but why not? The first line, land 77, 1446, right? Receivables, $26,842.
Yep. So the rest of the lease.
Whatever's left of the lease, we're going to get 26 grand based on all those payments added up.
And if you took the entire lease and divided it over the
remaining term.
Right. Well, no, it's not going to line up. That's the problem. They make you take the whole lease and divide it by the number of years and record it as a flat number.
Even if you're like halfway through it right now.
Yeah. And it's going to go up.
So that 26,000 is also present. That's the present value.
Right.
So you're
right. That's right.
You're going to have some portion that gets recognized as interest on that. So
forget it. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it. We're good. If you're good, we're good.
Yeah,
we're really good.
So Jeff has a question for Matthew.
Hi, Matthew. Thanks for the presentation and for the explanation. I have a follow-up question related to that receivable column, that first column. Is that adjusted for the CPI increase that we expect for the lease rates? I mean, I guess we don't really know what those are in advance. Is that a linear projection out based on the current lease rates? So the actual lease receivables that we'll actually receive will be higher simply because of our adjustment in lease rates?
So the way that the standard was written was you had to take everything that was there in effect at the time, and any CPI adjustments that occur essentially flow through in future years. So these don't take into account, because I mean, you don't know what the CPI is on an annual basis. This took into July 1st, 2021. This was the amount that you received for the payment, or there were a handful of ones that got renewed, extended during the year, or one or two that actually came into place. And when they were executed, at that point, we took, okay, what is your monthly receivable amount, and what's the length of the term of it, and then we present valued it using the interest rate.
For 2022, right? You said 21, but 22? Or
it's fiscal year 22. Oh, your fiscal year started July 1, 21.
So it's just a snapshot in time. That's all this really is.
Yep. It had to be implemented July 1, 2021, mm-hmm. and we basically took future payments from that date.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Obviously, we can't predict the CPI, but that just means that this column is a little bit of a fantasy because it's not going to be most accurate.
A little.
Okay.
It's your picture right there.
That's the government that works on
health. Over, what, 30, 40, 60 years?
Yes, some of them go out very far.
The extension's on about 50, 40 years, and it's a
long
time.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Matthew, for this explanation, and thanks, Susan, for helping with this and getting the details all organized for them. It's very helpful, I'm sure.
So I'd make a motion to accept the annual report as presented, in the auditor's report as presented.
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay. And Chris, would you take the roll?
Excuse me. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. Report is accepted.
I guess it's not pending.
Thank you for
he could.
Doing the best you could. Right.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Nice work.
It's not fun to deal with sometimes.
We had to pay like $20,000 just to buy a software program to manage it for our police and
the businesses side, and we had to pay $3,000 or $4,000, and the partner basically said, for businesses, this is what we're using. For our government, because Gatsby and Gatsby are completely different.
Oh, true.
No,
right.
Right.
Moon cheese right
there.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay. Bring this to communications. We have a report. Report. Power. Good stuff. like we had for March, we had 5571 expirations. And it looks like that's, wow, that's up quite a bit, up 514.17 over last month. And year over year, it's off by 279. And year to date, we're off in operations by 6%. So, manager's report, please.
Okay. Upcoming events, City of Nashua Summer Fun, which we've talked about in the last few meetings, the Wheels and Wings event at Nashua on September 23rd. Started working on that recently with the Parks and Recreation Department. Jeff DeSalvo used to run this program for Park Rec. He is no longer there. So we're going to work with a couple of new people. And we'll get that going soon. We had a commitment to the Aviation Museum barbecue last Friday after I'd written a report. They will be here on Saturday, June 17th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is a paid event. Adults are $30 per person. Museum members are 25. Kids from 6 to 12 are 10, and kids under 5 are free. Ramp tickets, no barbecue, are $10. Age 13 and up. We usually have a full house on that one. They generally sell out all the barbecue tickets, so if you're interested, buy your ticket soon. You can go, I'll leave the brochure back here. There's a phone number you can contact, or you can go to the www.aviationmuseumofnewhampshire.org and purchase your tickets. Weather permitting, great event. And that is also hosted by McLaughlin, Shane.
Thank you.
You sponsored the hangar for the event, which is very nice. Thank you.
What, if you don't mind me interrupting, new student plane building program?
So they built a kit plane, a Vans RV-12, that they completed last year, and they actually flew. The gentleman in the photo is one of our folks, Bob DeMeo. He was the test pilot for it, and they're about to embark on a second one. So, yeah, very exciting. It's a nationwide program that puts it all together with them. Local funds sponsor the purchase of all the equipment. And I think, well, the idea behind it is, you know, obviously get the children, the kids involved. There's a lot of mentors involved in it, local builders, local pilots, local people. And when they're all through building them, they fly them. And then they actually sell them so they can get more money to get another one. Try to keep the program going. So it was a pretty popular one last year. They're struggling this year to get some people involved in it. They didn't have a lot of students this year. But, you know, it's kind of, it's like aviation. It's up and down. So hopefully we get more students this year. And the airplane came out really nice, too, if you ever get a chance to see it. So. other items of interest, I met with the ladies behind me a couple weeks ago. They represent Kin Pathic, and they're about to have plans to lease a condo down at 114 Perimeter Road, and I'll let them present, give you the whole story when it's their turn, and so I won't beat it to death now. On the 5th, attended a pre-construction meeting relating to the Foxtrot Golf Ramp project, which is now underway. Continental started that project last week. Nick will talk more about that. They're already way ahead of schedule and moving right along. So the weather was perfect last week, a little cold this week, and a little rainy next week. We'll see how they can do with staying on schedule. So far, everything's going great with that in terms of safety areas. We reached out to the tenants that are in the affected areas. We have to have the inner taxi lane closed for the duration of this project, and that means the people in hangars 105 through 115 are all affected by this, and since we didn't have enough hangar space to relocate everybody, we are allowing people to tow the planes out of their hangars with the assistance of Greg Leeson, Infinity Aviation, with an hour or two heads up. They've been towing the aircraft out to a movement area, and so everybody still gets to fly and they're not locked into their hangars for the duration. And that so far is working out very well. Some people relocated to tie-down spaces as well. As well as all the people that are on those ramps, we relocated them down to the hotel on the India ramp for temporary parking. On the 11th, I had the EPA inspector, Joe Canzano, here. We did the fuel farm inspected. That inspection is complete. He found no deficiencies at that point. Still going over some of the paperwork we submitted to him. And so we're still working on that. Overall, I think it went well. Greg was with me the whole day. As you know, Greg operates the fuel farm. We own the fuel farm. So, again, a collaborative effort to make sure that we comply with all the EPA regulations. And it was actually a really good education that day for all of us.
Yeah, I think it went well.
Sorry. The following day, we had Tyen Bond and Trident complete the Jet A 20,000-gallon Jet A tank inspection. I just received that report as I was walking out the door, so I don't have the information tonight. With all his findings, so I'll send that out to the board members probably tomorrow morning. Did we pass the inspection? Yes, we passed the inspection. Are there minor things here and there that have to be addressed? Yes, but all in all, I think we're good. We originally had Clean Harbors as part of this job. They were going to be cleaning the tank for Ty and Bond to do the inspection. We decided to bring in Trident instead of Clean Harbors because at the last minute, Clean Harbors insisted on scaffolding for their men to work off of, and that was quoted at $5,000 for a day of scaffolding to be erected, and we were told this the Friday before the Tuesday that they were going to be here. And so we had Ty and Bond reach out to them, terminate that contract, and we hired Trident, who came and worked off of a man lift. And that worked out much better. The man lift was included in the Ty and Bond quote, because that's what they worked off of, and they allowed Trident to use it. So the quotes were almost identical. I think it was less than $1,000 more to have Trident as opposed to Clean Harbors, but we didn't spend $5,000 on scaffolding. And as we've discussed in the past, the cost of this activity has gone up significantly, and it will continue to go up. So we'll deal with that in the budget moving forward. A little tough to budget. Little did we know it was going to go up as much as it did in 2 years, as the last inspection was, I think it was $10,000 in total for the last inspection. Moving right along. I attended a meeting on the 13th with FAA, New Hampshire DOT, and Gale Associates to begin discussions related to a siting study for a new air traffic control tower. We were recently the recipient of a grant to perform the siting study, and we've been putting in applications as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law to get a new tower for our airport. As you know, our tower was constructed in the early 70s. It's out of date in all aspects. It checked all the boxes, all the criteria that the FAA had for the application process. Aging utilities, not green, not ADA compliant, et cetera. And I think Nick will speak a little more about this meeting than we had. About locations, possible locations that we talked about in our meeting with FAA. And I guess one other thing I'd add to that is I can't remember which one of us asked this, but what is the reality that somebody asked Sean Tiny of the FAA, you know, is this really going to happen, or are we just doing a siting study? And Sean said, if they gave you money for a siting study, they intend to move forward with this. Mm-hmm. So that was really good news. On the 13th as well, I met with Mayor Donches and his staff, John Griffin, and we discussed the annual NAA budget. Farrell was with me for that one, and I think that went well. Wasn't so concerned about our actual budget because it essentially, you know, zeroes itself out. He was more concerned with the projects that we have and the matching funds that the city is going to contribute for those. And after fairly lengthy discussion, I think he was comfortable that we weren't asking for a lot, we were getting a lot, and it, we didn't seem to have any opposition to our requests. And I had also submitted those requests in person to the Board of Aldermen, or the committee, I should say, and it was well received as well. I think that's about it. Do I have any questions?
Chris, I have a question on the budget review with the city. What was the request specifically that you were asking for? Was it things related to paving or filling in damage payment on perimeter road?
No, it was strictly related to the matching funds for our federally funded projects.
Got it. Oh, the 5% addition.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have struck up, I think, a good relationship with the Department of Public Works, and they've been very responsive to fixing the potholes in the road and whatever, other infrastructure problems I have on the field. A little tough during the wintertime, they can't always get the pavement, but it's all patched up at the moment. We didn't revisit the paving of the entire road. I brought that up year after year, and we have not been granted that. They were told me that it's based on, they actually calculate how much pavement you've used in pothole repairs, and when it reaches a certain threshold, that's when you get on the list. I'd have to say that must be some incredible amount of pavement, because we've got enough pavement here, I would think, that we've almost repaved the road.
How many more holes do we have to dig?
Yeah. So Wes is out there with his backhoe every night. So that's what I can tell you about that, Jeff.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions for Chris? Okay, we'll move on to engineer's report, please.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm Nick Toledo, reporting from Dale Associates. We are currently administering Route 5 projects now on behalf of the authority, the first being Taxiway Outpost rehabilitation. Bidding is now complete. The low bidder was Continental Paving with a price of $2,466,070. Grant applications were submitted to NACOT on March 8, 2023. There's a little bit of a dovetailing between golf ramps and the Taxiway Alpha job. So because the golf ramp project was programmed after Taxiway Alpha, we basically used the as-built condition as our base. Then Taxiway Alpha got pushed, so now we need to address the leakage plan for the larger aircraft on Taxiway Delta. In the golf ramp project by change order. So we processed. We prepared that change order, sent it to NHDOT, got their concurrence, and we circulated that for signature either yesterday or today. I should have the approved change order from DOT in my inbox. I can check shortly after. But we will be adding about $23,000 of work to the golf ramp project while also subtracting it from the Alpha Ramp project. So now that the change order has been approved, we're going to resubmit a revised grant application with the $23,000 taken out. One other item that the board may want to discuss tonight is the Taxiway Alpha project contains a lot of electrical components that have long lead times on. So my note here is because the project contains a lot of lighting materials which are known to have longer lead times, the NAA may want to discuss entering the contract ahead of grant funding. Doing so will allow the contractor to begin ordering materials. So requested action tonight would be to discuss the possibility of entering that contract ahead of having funds in place.
Do you happen to know who the contractor is for the lighting materials, the supplier?
The supplier is typically...
Do you know if it's their side?
Krauss Heinz?
Krauss Heinz does a lot of the navigation with the patents, things like that. It's usually for the signs, Blumaker, for the lights, typically Krauss Heinz. It varies, but it all goes through one large sort of middleman who distributes all of it. And I'm sorry, their name is giving me, but Colo Utilities.
Airside doesn't sound like a...
Airside is not. But the
they're a customer of ours. If they were getting a big part of this and we were supposed to do something early, I'd confuse myself.
No, it's not Airside. But the contractor doing the electrical work would be Colo Utilities. That's it for my update. So if you guys want to, it doesn't need to be a decision made. I just need to talk with anyone at the city before doing so. Typically, cities want to have all funds in place before entering a contract. So sort of on the fence about whether or not it's beneficial to enter the contract now. Myself, so you may want to discuss it.
Any idea on the magnitude of the lead time delta in terms of, grant X, lead time Y, cumulative Z, how far is it stretched out?
So the grant we anticipate to be issued this summer at month for the governor and council approval. I'm hoping we can be ready for construction by September 1st. The lead time on the electrical materials can be 12 to 16 weeks. So
we're there right now, basically. So if you ordered it today, you'd be delivering right about, August?
August, yep. I would say you probably have a couple of weeks if you need to do some diligence in the background.
But if we don't do this, Nick, this project's going into the spring. If there's a 12 to 14 week lead time on these parts.
These parts used at the end?
We don't see a grant till August.
If you don't see a grant until August, I think
it'd be impossible.
Either a partial rehabilitation factory up or waiting until the spring.
Who would be ordering all of these?
The contract, yes, the continent.
So we'd be essentially having to sign the contract, even though we don't have the proof. Essentially signing the whole contract.
Signing the contract with Continental. They would not invoice you for ordering those materials unless they store them on the airfield. That's the caveat for timing for materials on hand payments. I don't foresee them requesting that.
Because they come in theoretically just in time.
Yes.
Wes? Question one for the recorder. Just out of curiosity, $2 million something dollar contract, what portion of that is electrical?
Good question.
And my question is the airport apparently is going to be liable for that.
We'd be signing the contract, so we're liable.
Yeah,
the contract would be with the prime contractor.
Right,
so
yeah.
They would be liable for the entire cost of the project if. Grant
if something happens,
right.
But on the bright side, this money was issued in 2020 when we originally applied for it, so it's just been sitting in an account waiting for drawdown until now, which is why this project is funded at 100%, because that was part of the stimulus act around the time of COVID.
Okay, so that would reduce the risk to us if we signed the contract early?
Again, if no grant is issued, then...
The fact that knowing the money's there still doesn't change the... And there's no carve-outs, right? This is the contract. There's no, the life is 50 grand. So, there's none of that kind of stuff. This is... You sign the contract, you execute from there forward a portion of it, the entirety of it, or whatever, or you don't.
What's the penalty for cancellation?
Well, being as a Continental, my guess is they would only be paying for work to that point. So cost materials and probably some background paperwork that they've done.
So if we're technically or seemingly close to a spring project anyway, right? Just given the normal time frames, does doing anything, hanging it out there really give us anything other than risk?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess, well, yeah, answer that question first. Go ahead.
But is there more to it than that? I mean,
or let me ask you if I heard you correctly. You're saying this is most likely a 2024 project anyway.
It sounds like the normal course of action.
Do you agree with that statement?
I think it's leaning that way, yes.
I mean, I don't know when that grant will be issued. I know the funds are already there, so you take away the FAA component of that timing schedule. So it'll all come down to when the grant is issued.
But then you added our historical knowledge and experience.
From an executive council standpoint, this is approving the acceptance of federal funds, essentially, is what they're doing, if I understand it correctly.
In a way, yeah.
And the only time they've done that is where they said, nope, we don't want the federal funds, was the rail, the one that comes to mind. And it's not typical for them, I don't think, to say, no, we don't want the federal money.
Right. But again, it's usually city policy to have all funding in place before entering the contract. So,
So who in the city we talk to about that?
Steve.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm kind of thinking we need to have a word with Steve.
We have a few meetings stacked up for Steve.
Yes, we do.
He's been in court for a few weeks every day, so.
Not something we need to make a motion on or vote on tonight. I can follow up next month, though.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on taxi rate alpha?
So, I apologize. I'm going to ask a question. Just, I guess it kind of relates to. So, when we put this out with all the bidders, did we have does it go out and say, okay, we have a project and we're looking to have it done in this window? Or is it?
We give a rough estimate of the cost and time frame of the project.
So in this case, you kind of recall what we said. The point I'm trying to get to is for all of these kinds of things where, you know, they're kind of waiting for approval from whatever government agency. And then theoretically, if it's kind of in their schedule, that they're, you know, going to be ready to go. And so, to a degree, I'm wondering how often these contractors are going out and buying these kinds of supplies anyway, pending the contract approval.
Well, they wouldn't sign the contract with their subcontractors until their contract is signed. So, that would prohibit the sub from obtaining the lighting equipment. Does that make sense?
Not something they regularly stock.
No, these are, I mean, there's limited supply, and there have been for probably 6 or 7 years now. They sort of keep a minimal amount on site, but when a big order like this one comes in, they'll start the manufacturing process.
So Continental indicated to us that they could be ready to go on this project in August, if it happened. It's a matter of getting the grant through the New Hampshire process. And, you know, that's, like Wes indicated, you know, we have a history of how that works. It's usually a long time. But if it does happen expeditiously and we're ready to go in August, that's perfect. perfect timing to do the project, but if we don't have the lights ordered within the next 2 weeks, or the electrical components, it won't happen. Because as it gets later, you can't be paving into the late fall.
But on the flip side, if they go ahead and buy all this material, and we get to the season and paving can't happen and we still don't have approval, they're still going to be looking to get paved for at least this stuff that they...
Well, they would. I don't...
But we wouldn't have a source of funding for it because it's not been approved.
Well, they would only get paid for work that we have observed the installation of and approved. So even if they obtain all the lights and just store them, the maximum they can get paid is the value of the equipment itself.
But they will get paid when the contract executes, well, when the work executes in the spring, so if we start it in the spring. They're not going
to... So they want to go buy the parts anyway.
They what?
They don't have a site.
They may not go buy the parts. Even if we sign the contract, if they don't have confidence that it's going to be ready in August, they're not going to go buy the parts.
Well, I think they would. They want to do the projects as soon as they can. Continental.
Okay, it sounds like you need a few more conversations.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So the second project is the rehabilitation of Golf and Foxtrot ramps. Construction is underway. It started on April 10th. Design of the medium is contracted on day, my math was wrong, day 10 of 75. Like Chris had alluded to, the contract is progress to date. In the case of early finish, we estimated it was 1 to 2 weeks ahead of schedule at this point. We prepared and submitted the draft change order, which was approved. Covered that under taxway alpha, and that is about it for golf ramps. Obviously, golf ramps is the one that's impacting the airport the most at the time, at this time. So, if you have any questions, feel free. So, just to elaborate on the ahead of schedule, again, 75 calendar days is likely going to turn into about 45. They've been making great progress. They're already starting to put the tie-down anchors in. Beyond that, it's simply placing the crushed aggregate base and then paving once they're done with that, markings, and reopening. So we anticipate the aggregate will all be down by the end of next week. And then paving will be about 5 days. So 2 days for the base course, 2 days for the top course. So we could be looking at opening by middle of May.
Did the 209 get a pass today, you know? Or?
I haven't received the results yet.
Okay.
But, it's the same 209 that's been everywhere else. It's the same bit for contractors. So
okay.
I don't see any issues.
But just a quick question. Is the earth going to stop shaking after this week?
Can we start off?
You can feel it in the reference.
Yeah, it's having to happen that way.
Mm-hmm. Do they have to do that same thing with the aggregate? The aggregate to what?
Can't get worse.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You want to just call me now, Wes?
We were doing a runway in Chatham, Massachusetts, and one of the homeowners, probably a quarter mile away, called and said that the shaking cracked their foundation.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That was our insurance suggestion, though.
I think my hangar floor cracked from this.
Any other questions on the
golf ramp? Your house.
The third project is the AWOS relocation. There's no update this month. We're still waiting to get those draft reimbursable agreements from the FAA so that we can verify our scope is complete. I'm assuming we will circle back as soon as Chris sees those two proposals. Any questions on the AWOS project? All right. The fourth project is the pop-up land acquisition on Pine Hill Road. During the January authority meeting, The authority voted to authorize Gail to solicit an appraiser and a reappraiser to commence work on the acquisition of that parcel. Following the January authority meeting, Gail solicited proposals and review appraisal, proposals for appraisal and review appraisal services. Appraisal and review appraisal tasks have been completed, and a written offer and purchase and sale agreement has been prepared and sent to the city attorney for review and comment. Once those comments are received, a formal written offer will be made to the property. That's all I have for an update, and I apologize if you've got an idea how this is more mass area of expertise than mine, but I can try to answer any questions you might have.
Again, on that one, Celia Leonard is the attorney with the city that's working on this for us, and she has been in court for the last few weeks as well. So that's why we're having a little delay in getting the response on her review.
I have a follow-up question for Nick and Chris on this topic. Has the seller been notified formally and informally that all this is underway and that there will be a formal offer made so that they're aware?
Yes. Matt, Karen, and I met with Mr. Turmel, I believe it was a week ago, perhaps a week and a half ago. We went out, had lunch with him, and gave him all the details, and he's perfectly content with how it's moving forward.
Awesome. That's great news. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
And the last project is the power siting study. This project is new this month. This project will be to evaluate three possible locations for a new air traffic control tower, and the report will make a final recommendation on the preferred location. The grant was issued in the amount of $250,000 with, take those numbers,
yeah, that
zero being a 100% federally funded project. So the project kickoff meeting was held on April 13th. We discussed the project scope, and Gail's involvement. Unfortunately, or fortunately for everyone, Gail's involvement will be minimal. We will suggest the three power locations, and then the bulk of the study is conducted by the FAA. So we will sit in on meetings, we will handle the project accounting and reimbursements, otherwise involvement is limited. So the next step is to schedule a project discovery meeting with the air traffic organization and develop a reimbursable agreement for FAA services, site and the air traffic control tower. And we will be coordinating that meeting this week. Any questions? Any suggestions on how it is?
I thought that was your job.
Yeah.
Well,
before we get on that rabbit hole,
surprisingly, there's a very limited number of locations. We're looking at across from the pilot shop right out here. We're looking at in the area adjacent to this building here, and then we are looking at in front of the current tower, but that would feed into the tower.
Is there any possibility of locating it on the other side of the airport?
We're trying to look into that. Due to the environmental constraints and the site access constraints, utilities, things like that.
The airport road is right there.
I don't know that it would be the best location on that end. If anywhere, it would likely be along the tree line where the three destruction lights are. What were the other reasons that that was not feasible?
It was the proximity to the runway. We discussed it with the FAA in that meeting.
I think construction cost is going to be a concern. If we do
the railroad
tracks, we've got the railroad tracks there, we have to run, you know, gas lines, water lines, sewer lines, electrical, all that stuff.
Okay.
So at this time, it does not seem like the far side is going to be feasible, but certainly if take that on the advisement.
Now, if we knew somebody that owned property on that side of the road.
Now, so two hangars are being built, and are we saying there's not enough room between the two, or is that one of the spots that is under consideration?
We are looking at only areas in the immediate vicinity of the tower today. The area down where the hangars are going, I think we would still want to maintain as much of that real estate as possible for development. So we're looking at, again, out here in this area or adjacent to the tower.
Years ago, Brian, on the master plan and the ALP, it was depicted to go right across the pilot shop, right out here. And there was a lot of study and a lot of people had input on that. Former airport manager Roy Rankin, former air traffic controller, guy that opened this tower. He actually selected that location, and after we discussed this, it's actually not up to us. We have to propose locations. FAA does their siting study. They'll tell us which location is best suited for it. And in all the discussions we had, we thought that would be the best location. They will determine what the height will be so that there's no line of sight obstructions. We also have a lot of obstructions in this direction where the controllers actually can't see the pattern right now because of the tree obstructions. It was suggested at one time a navigation easement, but that would involve entire neighborhoods, which would never happen. And it goes, we had the topo up that day, and there's rising terrain this direction for greater than a couple miles. Mm-hmm. So the reality is they'll have to build a tower that's tall enough to see over all this.
At a minimum, I would say 20 miles to the tower.
That's still not going to get the review into Indian Ramp or on the other side of Infinity.
Well, Indian
Ramp.
Okay.
It's strictly the movement areas.
Anywhere the tower can provide authorization for an aircraft to enter.
Right.
And we also had Brian Dean involved in that meeting, who was the tower chief.
Twice.
We'll circle back with you once we have that discovery meeting scheduled. And then it'll be a matter of time before the FAA gets their draft and reversible over to you. And we'll get to work. Okay. Any questions on the tower sighting study? Right. Under general items, I'm happy to report that we are now under contract with a second developer, an IA Aviation, to do the site development plans and permitting efforts related to his 20,000 so square foot hangar with future expansion.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jess.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you, Nick, for the update, and that's especially good news about the hangar development.
Very well. Okay, so that brings us to committees. We have none at this time. Moving on to old business, Greg Reeson, Infinity Hangar Development. Greg?
Yes, the only thing I can report is that Chris and I are working to clear up the area here as far as landings go, and that's still just very much on our way. I think we've both been kind of preoccupied with the project. So, I think that the Steve Bolton meeting was pending.
Yeah, and I'll be speaking with the board and non-public tonight about real estate.
Yeah. It's everything's moving forward. We're in that quagmire there, defining the actual space so that we can develop the land lease and
okay. And new business, Michelle Lozier of King Havoc.
Hello. So my name is Michelle, and I'm here on behalf of King Havoc ABA. We're located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Beside me, this is Sylvia and Sony. She is the member of
one to two co-founder of the company.
So my role at Kentopic, I am the admissions coordinator and the program director for Creative Milestones Learning Center. We are seeking a zoning variance to establish occupancy for Creative Milestones at 114 Perimeter Road. We are looking to expand our program offerings. Currently, right now, we are providing services to children and families, children and adolescents with autism. We provide school support services, and we provide family support services. We are looking to expand our program offerings to open an inclusive preschool program at 114 Perimeter. We understand that the sound levels may be of a concern, and we do want to assure you that with the team that we have in place and the support of our behavior therapists and of our support staff, we do not feel like this is an issue. We have a location at 78 Northeastern Boulevard, and it is a similar setup as Perimeter Road. And on our busiest days, I can confirm that in the exterior of the building, you don't hear any noise from the kiddos that are in there. We haven't had any complaints from any neighboring occupants in the complex. In regards to safety, we do plan on the program being implemented entirely indoors, and we don't plan to leave the interior of the building during school hours. Our program will run from about 8:30 in the morning until about 12:30 p.m., and we will have no more than 15 students in the building at one time. After 12:30 p.m., some of our learners will have an opportunity to stay for aftercare services until about 1:30, and then some of our learners as well will be able to have an opportunity for ADA services with their behavior therapist for a short amount of time in the afternoon. We're hoping that as time goes on, we are able to provide families and caregivers with caregiver and me classes. And we hope that you guys are welcome to this idea of having after school in the area.
So I think there are already one or two other businesses.
Yes.
We have two businesses of a similar nature on Perimeter, so
yeah.
I don't see a problem with
that. And they're much bigger.
So
I actually have one question, since we have an autistic person in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Will the noise from the airports have any negative impact on your
when you said that, when we had our meeting, I met with these ladies just recently, that was the point, that there's noise generated at the airport. We're not worried about the noise that's going to come out of your unit.
A
couple of turbine engines will take care of that.
There's a lot of noise here, and you know, we had these discussions with the other schools, and I've had no complaints, mm-hmm. but there is a lot of noise. It's an airport, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Autistic people have sensitivity.
Right, and that's why I brought that up.
Yeah, so our learners are not, it's not only kiddos that do have autism. We, you know, have a variety of children as well. So we work with our kiddos a lot on noise and how to cope with noise levels and things that may be unexpected. We do have headphones for them as an option if, you know, things in their area do, you know, other children tend to be unexpected at times. So we work with them a lot on how to cope with those situations. So I don't foresee that as an issue at all. And like I said, we have a very strong team that works really well with them, and we do a lot of talking about, you know, emotions, how we're feeling, and I don't see that.
And again, this is an inclusive preschool, so we'll have 50% that are typical groups developing, and then 50% that are diagnosed. And the kiddos that are eligible for this type of program, they have to be assessed, and they have to meet a certain criteria. And most of them do have functioning levels that are going to be a little bit higher, But I don't really foresee that being an issue. But again, like Michelle said, if you do see that issue come up, then we will go ahead and pick it up with our behavior analyst, and they will, you know, be able to provide support.
We have a team that's highly trained in behavior, so everybody that, you know, is working with the preschool groups, they're very highly trained in how to handle those types of situations if they do feel like their children are, the noise level is affecting them in any way.
It is the greatest noise on planet Earth, though, that comes out of the airport.
So in the meeting that I had with these ladies recently, in my assessment, I think it would be a good fit for the airport, the industrial side of the street. And as I've done in the past, I'd be willing to write a support letter to the zoning board to grant them the variance.
What do they need for a variance?
Probably airport and... No.
It's on the airport. Airport side, may not
exist
anymore.
It is under airport. And that's why we have a meeting with them next week.
Right.
They didn't really ask us for anything.
But they did it for the other two schools, too.
It sounds like a letter from you, Chris. I mean,
right.
Nothing you can do before,
right.
But...
Right.
I mean,
just the other branch is allowing these people to move into the third.
No.
Which is probably the reason why they didn't ask us to get a letter from you or anything. And they just said, you know, you'll present your purpose and your intent, and we will get your answer that day.
I'll give you the letter of
okay.
support.
Okay.
So for the other two businesses, could we make them, you know, did we order anything?
Or no. I mean, how long?
Yeah.
And that would be
more
my time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
If the zoning department does require an application or any sort of engineering background review or work, I'd be happy to do that free of charge. I have offers as members of my team.
Oh, great.
Wait, Nick does work for free. Hold on. We're
very
late.
Yeah, I
know. I just wanted to seize that moment just to make sure.
I'll give you
on the record. Yeah.
Very nice there.
Okay. So I don't think that there's any action the board needs to take. But thank you for coming in and presenting to us. And we're happy to help out. We take this as a recommendation that this is going to be a good fit.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And we hope you have success with the with the zoning board.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like talking in front of people,
so
this was a really
nice job. You did fine.
We're not really people, so that's fine.
What makes the airport an attractive place for your business and these other two businesses?
Well, it seems to be a little bit more remote also. We like that, that it's not in like a total busy area where there's a lot of businesses close by. This area is pretty close to our current clinic, so that's kind of the reason why. We love the restaurant. We're very excited about it.
Good luck.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add a quick comment remotely here. Welcome, Michelle, and good luck with your school. Just a quick sort of tongue-in-cheek request that you encourage all these young students to do some plane watching while they have the opportunity to do so, and maybe that's something the airport could help with, just to encourage their interest in aviation.
Of course.
Oh, that's a good idea. We'll create something else for you.
This is great for the midfield. You know, we talked about that, the Midfield Cafe, which they're already familiar with, making great views up there. And
I know earlier talking about the students, I actually wanted to ask how old the students need to be for the
Oh, the young eagles?
Yeah.
They have to be at least 8.
8, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's great. Okay.
8 to 16.
That's for the flying events that we don't have scheduled right now. But these other events that won't.
The summer fun. Yeah.
And, yeah, summer fun. At the end of the summer, we have a big event. It was formerly called the Touch a Truck event. Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of truck instructors, helicopters, airplanes, and the kids can go and
pop around. Because I think that the Aerobatic Club is scheduled to have a Young Eagles event here. And I think it was the beginning of July.
No.
Do you have any recollection of that?
I spoke with Eric Wiseman, and he said they were doing it at Lawrence, I thought.
Okay.
No, Lawrence is, we live in a strange world. Lawrence is doing it at Concord.
So, you do it as long as you don't eat in your own airport.
Drinking alcohol
will
do it at Lawrence.
During your aerobatic judging school, I spoke with Eric, and he's putting those on, and I told him I'd love to have you here, but he didn't have anything planned for here.
Okay. Right. But he's planning that the Young Eagles event, so maybe he's not here.
Well, he was telling me, I thought he said Lawrence, but Lawrence and Concord, and I could get Beverly here.
All right.
This is the other event, which is the barbecue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And kids under 5 are free, $6, $12, $10 each.
Mm-hmm. So if you're 5.
Yeah. And we'll post this on our website too.
If there is interest in the Wings and Wheels event, that's on a Saturday, I believe. And the kids would be welcome, but there will be a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, when is that barbecue?
The 17th of June.
Okay. So moving on, upcoming events, as Chris mentioned, we have the barbecue on June 17th. We have Wings and Wheels on September 23rd. And that brings us to public input. The meeting is coming to a close. Does anybody have any comments? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Director's comment. We'll start with Brian.
I would just say it's another meeting that just proves there's a lot of good stuff going on around here. And I was telling people in my office that I was coming over and, talking about what's going on with the helicopters and the hangars and the, just everything going on in the airport is great. And thanks, Greg. My family had a great experience. Much appreciated.
So I'll go on the record. Chris, when we met with the city last week to present the budget, Chris did a really good job of, pitching the airport, to the people assembled there. Once again, he extended invitations for city officials to come out, and visit us. We would love to have the mayor here. Any city officials that would like to come out, we'd be happy to give them the nickel tour. So I'll put that on the record. And again, thanks to Susan, for her work on, the audit. And also thanks to Dave and Antensha, for his work on our, budget, on our budgets, our, the audit, and our financial reports each month. So.
Just second, third, fourth, fifth, all the comments. Thanks for riding the bull for another year of the audit rodeo. So I know we all look forward to it every year. Thank you. All good stuff. Carry on. Thank you.
And Jeff?
Well, the benefit of being the last director to say anything is I get the second, third, and fourth, all the comments that have been said. So, yes, I agree with all the comments from Brian, Farrell, and Joe, just related to good things happening at the airport, and I want to extend great appreciation for Susan, Chris, and my fellow board members, as well as our auditors for all the help with the financials. Having a clean report and being able to run our finances in the positive every year and having no issues is a huge relief for the board and just makes our job very easy. So thank you all very much.
They have really good paper. They have really good paper.
We paid for it.
I tell you. Okay, so adjournment to non-public session, pursuant to RSA 91A-3-2D, consideration of the acquisition, sale, or lease of real or personal property, and also section 2A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee.
Support the motion to adjourn to non-public.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.